Greetings, this is James Gillen, and I'm your host. We've got another great show. We've got Sonia Barrett, and she's the author of The Holographic Canvas, The Fusing of Mind and Matter, published in 2008. Her insights are cutting edge, with much of it supported by quantum physics. Sonia Barrett's work bridges the gap between science and spirituality in a simplified format. She addresses the programming beliefs and concepts by which we have lived our lives both individually and collectively. These insights provide clarity in understanding the paradox of both the real and the unreal, the visible and the invisible components of reality, the holographic experience. Known for her mind-bending concepts, she stretches the mind even further by going beyond the common view of time at www.spiritinform.com. In her own words, it's all listed there, so if you want to connect with that, go to that website. She's currently producing her first documentary titled The Business of Disease, a 90-minute feature, and she's also a publishing companion book in the film filled with chapters from everyone in the film, and that's at www.thebusinessofdisease.com. And she's also the host and producer of Inner Bridge Radio and publisher of Reality Bridge Magazine. She's also the founder of Timeline Publishing and Media Relations, and you can check that out at www.timelinepublishinginc.com. With that being said, I want to welcome Sonia to the show. Sonia, are you with us?
Yes, I believe so. I believe I'm with you.
Yeah, well, nothing's for sure anymore, right? With the way things...
I don't know anymore. As long as I hear your voice, I'm with you somewhere.
Those are the words of enlightenment, you know. I don't know.
I don't know. And the, you know, the more I discover it, the more I really do find it that I don't know.
Yeah. You know, have you noticed lately, and this is my own personal experience, is that, God, I mean, I have been working and working and working at, you know, healing, clearing, you know, others, myself, and everything, and just all the dynamics, and I think I'm finding this place of it's almost like a place, I don't want to say loving amusement, because that doesn't sound right, but loving detachment is more where I'm just becoming the observer and just going and not, and just saying, okay, this is what it is, and whatever happens after this, I'm fine with, and yeah. Because things are changing
I'm
so fast.
There.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm there. I am so there that it could be a little scary. Seriously.
Yeah.
It could be a little scary because it is that feeling where I haven't even explained the depth of this, because you start letting go in a way that, like, you never let go before, where concern or more of a compassion, but there isn't that same level. And even on the mundane level, for me, even things like social media, from marketing and all of that, I've just gotten to the point where I don't care. I don't care anymore. I don't, you know, and it is. It's sort of a withdrawing because there's so much stuff going on. And you really, you can realize that you're caught up in a way in some of the components of the protocols of the matrix, even sometimes when you don't realize that you are. And I think that kind of stopping, is really, I think, an evolutionary stepping back. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I hope that makes sense.
No, it does. I mean, that's what I feel. I feel it's a step in evolution where you know, all of these programs, like you're saying, the Archon Network and the Matrix and all of these things are running. But at the same time, although it's running all around you, you know, you're still your own island and you're the observer and you're just going, you know, whatever, you know, you're not attached anymore and you're just saying, you know, whatever,
right.
Whatever happens, happens. You know, it's like,
yeah.
You know,
not the same kind of judgment call, even though maybe you didn't see it as a judgment. But yeah, we measure everything. You know, that's part of what we do as human beings. It's there's some sort of barometer for everything, because it's so polarized here that everything is either good or bad.
Yeah.
You know, black or white. It's mm-hmm. this polarization that does wear you out. And I don't think we're used to just being in that centered space, which is, I think, what you're talking about, where you're just there and you know in every moment, as I say, it's all good. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's trippy being in that space where before, you know, you'd end a relationship or whatever, you'd have this heart-wrenching thing going, you know, I should have done this. Maybe I could have done this or maybe, you know, and then you feel the emptiness and everything else. And now it seems like, you know, you go, well, that was what it was. And,
right. And, no overanalysis.
Yeah, hopefully I gain the wisdom from that one. And so I don't recreate that experience or finish up whatever karma was involved there.
Yeah.
And I'm open to, you know, and that's where I always say, my famous line is, can we just be loving and kind to each other? You know, that's my, that seems to be my line lately. And I'm really having trouble going anywhere else.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, if that's what you're feeling, then, you know, you just end up having to operate in that space. But, everybody defines lovingness and kindness in different ways. As crazy as that sound.
Yeah.
It may sound. And that's just like, you know, what's peace to you might, you know, might be war to somebody else or vice versa. So it is.
Whoops, I think I lost you there.
It's true, you know.
Yeah.
You know, in case I'm point, we mentioned something. Oh, really? Really?
No, you're back. You're back.
It didn't even move, but okay.
Yeah, it just popped. Just for a second there, we popped off. Oh, we're good.
Okay. Well, yeah, but I think we see that on the planet with, you know, why people go to war, and usually that's the most bizarre thing because it's usually we're fighting for peace or some really bizarre things that we're doing that makes, well, we're killing all those people so that everyone else can live, you know.
Yeah. I don't understand that, you know, I looked at this thing and it says, and basically what you look at this and say, okay, Syrians killed Syrians, so we're going to go kill a whole bunch of Syrians to tell them that it's not okay to kill Syrians.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that makes sense. That really makes sense to people. But, you know, what the neat thing about it is I think over 90% of the people aren't buying anymore, and they're saying, knock it off. We're not doing these wars, you know.
But here's what I found interesting, though, is this is the way they phrased it. We're going to do a direct strike. That's the term, that's the words used, direct strike, but we're not going to war.
Yeah.
That's the worry. We're not going to war. We're just going to kill like a select group of people, but we're not really going to war. That's all.
Yeah. Because if they say war, then they have to get approval, you know. But you know what's funny? I knew this wasn't going to fly in the very beginning. I heard what was going on. I go, you know what? This is not going to fly. It's not frequency specific to where the Earth's going. And the first round I knew was going to be a total failure with them trying to get this war going. But I also got they're not done yet. And they're going to try again to pull off some real sneaky stuff. And I just saw Fort Hood, I believe, was given their marching orders that to go, they're going to be in Syria, and they're actually sending them over there right now. So despite the people's wishes, you know, over 90% of people saying stay out of this, and who knows what the Congress and the rest of the houses are going to do. But, you know, he's still going forward and having his little war, just like Bush before him. So I think this is going to be political suicide, you know, if it goes in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely it's going to be interesting. But, you know, I do say that, you know, this is a war planet. And I know a lot of people don't really want to hear that. And the only reason why I say that all the time is because it's the polarized reality. That's why there's war, because of the polarization. You know, it's either it's over here, it's good or it's bad. It's this thing, you know, it's black or it's white. And because of that, there's a lot of opposition because it's, you know, it has to be about opposition. So it's always going to be some sort of fight going on in some way or the other. And people are tired of war. But then you get those people who are like, well, we have to do something. We can't just let them we can't, if we sit back and do nothing, then we look like wusses. I've actually heard people say that. And then you get the people who are like, well, I'm tired of us getting involved in stuff that don't concern us.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a pretty interesting, to see how, this is all going to unfold. That's all you can say. And just continue to do what you do energetically, mm-hmm. frequency wise. That's kind of basically it.
Yeah, if you look at the ancient history of the planet, and you have the Anunnaki and their beefs and their turf wars, and it's like the original Hatfields and McCoys,
mm-hmm.
and that's been going on ever since then. And they've got a whole bunch of humans to jump in, and involve themselves in this same thing, or are behaving just like the ancient gods.
They have it in their bloodstream. They have it in their
genetics.
In their genetics, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and I said, hey, we have an opportunity to transcend the gods, to go beyond them and choose peace and choose to live in harmony and raise our frequencies and get out of this polarized nonsense. And, I got so much crap from that. They go, how blasphemous, how hubris, how...
Oh, because you said to go beyond and...
Yeah, to transcend the gods, because people don't even know who the gods were and how we did pick up a lot of their inadequacies, or whatever you want to call it, their unresolved programs that they were working out down here.
Well, I think they have to define God. I think that's the confusion.
Yeah.
People's definition of God, and people's definition of God does, it is about someone ruling them, or somebody that is, that's completely superior to them. And I think that's where the confusion comes in. But at the same time, you cannot ever reach that level. You cannot attain that. You are always supposed to be less than. So I think that is a confusion, and that's what we've seen on the planet. All those that pass themselves off as gods, and definitely, intervened in human life here. That's what they were. I mean, they were just superior in terms of, technology,
mm-hmm.
and, certain, levels of awareness. And I think, to me, most of this is truly technology based, whether we're talking about genetics, modifying the human body, the human DNA cells, whatever. It's all a different kind of technology, and that's where the advancements are. I mean, to even the forming of a planet, we're looking at science. There's that is mm-hmm. still in that same category. But I think a lot of people, because of religious beliefs, they don't look at it in that way. They don't want to, because they think that it diminishes their beliefs, and it also diminishes their concept of God, which then puts too much responsibility on the individual. Now you've got too much responsibility for yourself. There's nobody to bow to pray to in that manner. And I think people get really scared.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, they don't realize that, Elohim was plural,
Right,
and
right.
It meant the gods, and we got our image of the, the bearded god, from the Anunnaki. That's where we got that. But we have to go back even further and say, well, where'd they come from? Somebody
exactly.
was... Yeah, I always go, hey, did they, what I want to know is who were these guys and who created them and did they have a mother?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think they probably had a mother that boxed their ears once in a while, for getting out of line.
I'm telling you, it's all the same thing. I mean, well, the planet was birthed from something. We look at our big old universe, and you look at all the planets in it that are, birthed, whether it be through the Big Bang. Either way, it was born from somewhere. Everything is being birthed from something, from mm-hmm. somewhere. And I think to be able to look at it, in that context and remove a lot of the woo-woo stuff from it. But if people aren't ready, those people who aren't ready to see it that way, there's really not much you can do. And what's crazy too, James, is the fact that what we're speaking about with gods and people getting upset, blasphemy, You know, these are people that will go, you know what? Well, we're going to go to war. We're going to kill you because of what you just said.
I know.
It is so wild. I'm like, okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. You can't say that about God. You want to supersede God? We're going to show you. We're going to kill you. Okay.
Well, what, you know, whatever happened to thou shalt not kill? I thought there was a program in place, you know, that.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of said, thou shalt not kill. And I think I'm missing something here when I think there's an addendum in there, you know, somewhere.
There is an addendum.
Yes.
Yeah, the addendum is thou shalt not kill. But if somebody says that they're God and says anything against your God, then you can kill. Oh, okay.
Or if they're, or if they're sitting on top of a huge oil reserve or...
Yeah.
Or if they're messing with your banking, with your money, monetary system, or anything else, then it's okay.
Then it's okay. Yeah. This is what you have to understand. These are the criteria there. It's like, oh, okay, I can do that. Yeah. That's what it seems like.
Yeah. It's like, I like that saying that, you know, in the Bible it says that man was created in the same image and likeness of God, you know, which were the Anunnaki. It was their seed, you know, that they... jumped up a Neanderthal. But the bottom line is that, you know, it's the other way around. We're creating God in our images. And we're putting all these images to God and belief systems and making God into what we need to fulfill our desires, you know, and our needs.
And, so we are playing God.
Yeah, exactly.
We are being God. Pretending that we're not God, coming up with some sort of structured idea of God. So it is, it's very funny. It's, but you know, only some people can laugh at it.
Yeah.
You know, other people will stone it. So that we are aware of. How dare you say that we are gods? Don't you know that as a God, I've decided to forget that I'm a God? So
yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah, I think the big cosmic joke is the omnipresent thing, you know. It's like, if God's omnipresent, how do you do the duality? How do you do the separation thing other than in your own mind, you know? And a lot of people have a hard time with that, especially fundamentalists. When you try to tell them that the Creator's omnipresent in all creation, you know, that within you is the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness on all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse, and you too can be one with the Creator and all creation. That is such a blasphemous statement.
Oh, James, that's just nonsense talk right there.
Yeah.
That's foolish talk.
To me, it's just base logic, you know. But,
that just doesn't make sense. That's the problem. It's basic logic. We're not used to that. It's just something more complicated, something that makes no sense, that one individual died on the cross for all your sins or everything that you could ever do. This individual has died for it. So,
yeah, I was, you know, I know you're not supposed to question those things, but I always had that question, if good old Yeshua died on the cross because of our sins, wasn't sin supposed to like stop at one time or, you know, it was happening before and after he died. So if he erased all that, I kind of missed the part where
it's a residue sin. You're missing that part. This is just residue.
Okay. Okay.
It's still unfinished sin that we're committing.
Oh, yeah. I know. I guess I need to go cut down all my apple trees so I don't do that one again.
You gotta look at that. It's residue. So anything you do after that, though, as long as you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you know you understand this, then you're forgiven. Now the question is, okay, all right, I can go along with that. All right, so you're forgiven, but does that mean that there's aren't going to still be consequences that you're going to have to deal with?
Yeah.
That's the part. So does that mean that you won't have, there's no consequences, or does it mean that, yeah, you're forgiven? It's like, okay, I forgive you, you know, for these are the nations where they chop your hand off and do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, okay, well, this court has forgiven you, but as you know, the law is.
Yeah.
So we're still going to chop off your hand, but you are forgiven.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's getting so ridiculous. I'm just wondering when, you know, we're going to actually kick on this brain and start to look at this stuff with a little bit of rational mind, you know. Who knows, you know. Then you do that, the devil's got you when you do that. So you can't win either way. Yeah. But
that's the thing, you know. Big emphasis for me is on each person really looking in at themselves for this change. I think when we spend so much time, you know, focused on the external and trying to get everyone else to change, it doesn't really work quite the way that we think it should work. But I think when we begin to, like what we are doing, asking these questions, sure, you go out there and you do lectures and you do workshops and you do all of those things, but you continue to maintain the fact that I am going through my own evolution. You're committed to your own personal evolution, and you're sharing what you're discovering. And the more you set up, I think the more we have an opportunity to begin to, in our own personal concept of reality anyway, we begin to see a different kind of experience, or what we have a relationship with then, in terms of the world. Because the bottom line of it is, yes, we are not living in these war-torn areas. We don't know why these people live there. We don't know what their journey is on the planet. And same thing with where you may live locally. Maybe it's not a war-torn area. There's nothing really going on from that angle. So I think we have to take all of that into consideration. Mm-hmm. People's journey, you know, why they're here. We don't know what everybody's residue then, say, is, and so on, why we experience the reality that we experience. So we know that there is war because we hear about it. We see it in the media and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
but some things we don't immediately interact with.
I know what I see is that the overlighting consciousness is still the same. It's just the game, the rules have changed a little bit, especially with, you know, because we had our own little war going on here with the county and doing everything they could to shut us down, and feeling very self-righteously so, that they had every right to totally usurp, you know, our divine rights and basic human rights, you know, to, you know, right to privacy, right to assembly, freedom of speech, freedom to practice our spiritual beliefs were all usurped, you know, by the county. And they actually, when I brought that to their attention, and I said, are you saying that none of these rights exist, that we don't have any of these rights? And they said yes.
Oh, they said yes that you, wait a minute, they said yes that you don't have any of those rights?
Yeah, they actually,
freedom of speech, so on and so forth?
Yeah, they actually said yes. And I just went, I go, well, where do I go from, where do you go from here? You know, you're now nullified. You're not even, you've betrayed all of your oaths. You've, you know, you're acting totally against any constitutional, you know, manner. And so where do you go when you run into people like that, you know, and things like that? So we had to take a whole different path. We had to just totally separate ourselves completely from them. And now we're just basically an island here, you know. We don't even have an address anymore. We're like we patented the land and everything else. But, you know, the stuff that they were doing, they were going to come after us with guns and bulldozers and everything else. And you're going, wow, what, this is like, you know, I think we're in 2013, aren't we? You know, this isn't the, you know, we should be having a dialogue here, you know. But it's amazing how you do, the same programs are still running. It's just the game has changed a little bit.
Right. Well, it's the same program still running. And I think, you know, what we also have to keep in mind is the fact that when we speak about, you know, the matrix then, or the system itself, anything that we have to do on the level where we have to be part of the structure itself, the protocols itself then for the basic matrix, you know, and I'm talking all the stuff you're talking about, the county, the courts, the you know, the legal system, any of those things, to me, that's the basic dumbed down matrix, because all of those formats in place are really there to establish boundaries and limitations and structure for humans who are playing in that level of the game, of the reality experience. So anything that you end up having to do, registering anything with the county or license and fees, and not that I'm saying you don't do those things, but that was the conclusion I came to, and I fully understand a lot of that other sovereign stuff, which is another whole other story. It's caused a lot of problems for a lot of people because that basic system, those who run that basic system, don't want people to override the game that is, you know, that they've had going for a very long time. So, yeah, anything you have to do in terms of that, registering your car, any of that stuff, just know that's when you just end up, you're going into the Matrix, and these are the rules.
Yeah.
This is how they play. They do not care about how you want to play. They have no interest. Do you want to play? That's basically what they say. Do you want to play? Okay, well, here's what we require for you to play. We need you to have a driver's license. We need you to have this. We need you to have that. We need all of these things. If you're not going to play, fine. But then we're going to make it very difficult for you to operate because you can't get anything is basically how it's set up. It's like so many things you aren't able to do because it requires these monopoly pieces.
Yeah.
Play.
Exactly. Well, I think that there's a big unraveling happening right now and this whole system, because it is a system of predators and leeches, you know, and very few people that are actually creating, you know, much of anything. They're just living off everybody else's creation. I think that whole program is folding in on itself, and people are standing up, you know, becoming more sovereign and saying, hey, we're not buying this anymore. As things get more oppressive, I'm seeing more and more people standing up and uniting. And unfortunately, it takes that oppression to do that, to get people
It's an inner sovereignty more than anything else. It's like you have to come to that place where you're looking for this inner freedom. And like you just said, where people are just going, no. As opposed to just depending on the system to make change that is in support of you. Because the system doesn't work that way. The system looks out for itself and those who run it. Mm-hmm. And so it's not necessarily doing things in your best interest. So we have to be the ones as individuals to begin to come into that space of inner freedom, inner sovereignty, and decide, you know, what will and will not work for us.
Yeah, and maybe remind them that they did, you know, take an oath, and maybe there might be some things happening that might be outside of that oath, you know, that they're doing, and time to do a major reevaluation on where we're going. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you don't say anything, then it, you know, even if it wasn't law, it suddenly goes down in the book. Somehow it becomes this unspoken law.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of the laws that we supposedly have, a lot of it has just become unspoken. Like, and suddenly it's law. Like what you just said, when you ask that person and they go, no, you don't have any of those rights. Now, if everybody just sort of kicks back and accepts that, then you know what? Ultimately, one day that will be true. That's how it works.
Exactly. You know, there's an old thing: it's compliance by not objecting. But you know, if you don't object, you automatically comply.
Absolutely.
So it is important, you know, all along to just not. You know, I love the non-compliance program. You know, where that's where we're going to have to go is. You know, some people call it spiritual non-compliance or non-violent non-compliance, or there's a lot of different ways around that, but I think that's where things are going to go. I just saw this was a 2 million motorcycle ride, or where there's a 2 million people involved in this motorcycle ride up to Washington to talk to our fearless leader there. And I thought that was quite it. Just looking at that, and I think that's just the tip of the iceberg. I think we're going to have something even bigger happen
Wow.
pretty soon.
How many motorcycles?
2 million. 2 million motorcycles converged on the White House demanding, you know, the nonsense stop and just saying, And so it was, and they denied their permit. And they said, no, we're not giving you a permit to come. Well, they all came anyway, you know. So they said, well, we
What are you going to do? 2 million motorcycles.
Yeah, exactly. And there wasn't anything. And they did their speeches and did their thing and left. And then I saw the headline saying, two million motorcyclists converge on the White House to show their support for, or what was it? The headline? To show their solidarity. You know, like basically their support. And that wasn't why they converged.
What I'm thinking you're saying is that they didn't give the real truth. They made it seem like they were there to support the nonsense.
Exactly. That's what the headline said. And I just went, oh my God. I go, what?
What they do.
Yeah. What a twist,
that's
you know?
What they do. That's what they do. Because you can't have everybody else thinking, oh, wow, we can do this too. They try to really keep that to a minimum of people snapping out of it. And we've got to make sure that they don't know. Well, then you contact them. Oh, well, that was just an error.
Oh, I got some stuff. I didn't want to go with it, but I had some stuff here in two local newspapers where some people wrote some things, you know, having not even been here. And one of the most slanderous things I've ever heard. And I go, oh my God, I go, where do these people come from? You know, and I don't even know these people. Why are they writing these articles? And why didn't they come to me and do an interview or ask first, you know, about, hey, you know, what's going on there? You know, it's just, I was looking at this thing and we might have to deal with some of it because some of it was very, very slanderous. You know, some of the things were said and, you know, there's a point when you have to go, okay, wait a second. You know, you can't go after somebody's character and make all kinds of statements without having anything, you know, whatsoever
right.
to go on.
That's why I'm sure they didn't come to you for an interview because then you would tell them the truth.
They don't want the truth. Yeah. They want to, you know, create the chaos and the separation.
It's not as exciting.
No. But, that it's definitely yellow journalism, but this one was a total character assassination piece, which really was just a lot of made-up things that have nothing to do with reality.
Wow.
But anyway, it's I can't go too much into it because there might even be legal ramifications on one of them because it's a very famous person that just was spouting off that I was blown away at, and I think I've even had her on my show. You know, so
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, but it was all about power, and it was all about needing to have the limelight and being number one, and a lot of ego stuff and things like that in there. So it's you know, and this
even
is
that limelight thing is crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, all of it. You know, I'm just in a very different space on how I can even. I wouldn't even try to explain it to your listeners, but it has a lot to do with a different level of observation and really what matters to me, you know, and realizing the programming and the bag of goods we've been sold in terms of what really matters, what's important.
Mm-hmm.
Our focus gets directed into a lot of the things that really have no real importance. And this is across the board with the New Age movement, with the spiritual movement. I see it in so many ways. And you mentioned ego, and there's a lot of that that definitely raises its head. And you have to decide, you know, what do you want to be a part of? You know, what's important to you?
Yeah, I know. I just went to a conference and it was kind of interesting because there was a huge amount of ego there and people showing up in limos, you know, with five bodyguards and thing, you know, locking the place down after they went in and things like
that. Spiritual
purpose? Yeah. Yeah. And I was going, oh, I can't believe this. I go, I hope people see this. You know, and I did my lecture and I told him, I said, look, I'm not your guru. You know, the guru's within and I'm going to share some things with you. And it's very important that you realize that you need to lead yourselves from your own heart and soul, that this isn't about me, this is about you waking up. And so I kind of set the bridge or the foundation there for that, for the beginning of this major conference. And so after that, the people that were not in that space that wanted to be the gurus and needed the fame and the notoriety and everything, I guess it created quite a backlash. And
that's great though, because it's like what it reminds me of is theater, or being or still, it's still part of the entertainment, the stream of entertainment.
Yeah.
Than the celebrities and movie stars that we see, and I've seen the same thing. You know, you've seen James, and in the very beginning, when I was very new to all of this, it made me step back and go, okay, well, that's what you want to do. And also, like you, yeah, so this particular person is quite well known. And I did take a lesson from that. And I think many times these people don't even realize that that's where they now are, because it's been a gradual process of moving into that mind space. And it's now natural and normal. So they don't even really notice that. But I think the key too is that, again, going back, working on yourself.
Yeah.
I think for me, realizing, my God, just realize how whatever I think I know right now is minuscule in terms of the magnitude of knowledge still yet to, be uncovered, or for me to remember, however you want to put it, to awaken to. And I think just realizing that, you know, you might think you're extremely large, and that's fine, because I think that's part of your reality experience. Obviously, right now, that's something you need to, the person needs to experience. But when you step back, you realize, man, I know very little. I might, what I'm doing right now to someone else might be profound. But guess what? There's always someone else who knows way more than you at this moment. And these are people we probably never hear from on the planet. These people are probably transcended in a way that their ego does not require much of this. So we probably don't hear from them, see them. So I think to even think for a moment that you have all the answers and that you are so awakened, you are, you know, anybody else, I think, man, that's a setup. It's a huge setup.
I always tell people I finally figured everything out, you know, and I've gained access to all knowledge, you know, and I said, what I figured out is it all fits perfectly into the great mystery, you know. And so on this level with this little monkey mind, I'm never going to figure it out. And when I get into the emotional body and the higher minds, I can still figure more of it out, but there's always more. And it's like the gunfighter. It's like the gunfighter. You know, the guy goes, okay, I'm the fastest gun, you know, and some kid shows up and takes him out, you know, and then this guy goes on for a while, and then he meets another one that takes him out, you know. And I think we just need to let go of this need to be the best or one up or the competition program. We just need to let that go and start listening.
Absolutely. You're right. I like the analogy you just used, because that is true. I think for me, that's what's exciting, is because I would hate to think that this is it. Like, you're it. I'm it in terms of what we know. And there's nobody else out there that has. I mean, how disappointing would that be? It would be very disappointing, I think. But to realize that some of these beings that we tend to look at as gods or superior, I mean, I'm talking even on the human scale, that maybe they transcended into a greater level of awareness. Okay, well, that's an amazing opportunity for me, because then I know I have something to look forward to. It's this never-ending becoming, this never-ending enlightenment. Is never ending. I might be able to teleport, I might be able to zip from here to there, but it doesn't mean that I have maxed out in terms of what's possible.
Oh no, it's so endless when you when you realize what's possible, and then even that that what you know is possible is still a limitation. It's so far beyond anything that we can even conceive
of.
Yeah,
or wrap our minds around. It's just, which is beautiful, because if we can wrap our minds completely around it and explain it completely, then I always say, okay, there still lies a problem. There is no limit to it. It's just this endless process. So we are always discovering, and we see it in science all the time. You know, 50 years from now, what they will discover in terms of that, we're so sure that things are as they are. Science discovered this. 50 years from now, they will look back at some of what we've discovered right now, and it'll be very minuscule. It'll go back to the Earth is flat, and then the Earth is round. Same concept. It just goes on and on and on and on.
Oh, yeah. We had some beings pop in here on us that were like eighth dimensional beings, and the energy was so intense and just so loving. It was overwhelming. A couple of people that kind of really shook their reality. Yeah. It took them a few days to kind of get back on track again. But, you know, somebody was asking about these beings. Well, who are they, and what's their life like? And all I could say is, you know, this is so far beyond my reality, I don't have a clue.
How do you explain their
world? I said, all I know is the energy I feel from them is just so incredibly, you know, awesome, and the power of love coming from them and the wisdom and everything is just beyond imagination. But I said, I don't think these beings even have any kind of a physical body. They're probably just a little light spear cruising around or something. You know, I don't know what, but they seem to have they seem to have a name. You know, they give us a name, but I think they give us a name just so we have something to hold on to that we can attach to the frequency.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But I have no idea. You know, I was trying, this person asked me all these questions, and I said, until I actually go there and hang out for a while, I couldn't tell you. You know, I couldn't tell you what their world is like, because I don't have any reference points.
I'm glad you use that term, because that's what it is. It's a reference point. That's how we operate on the planet, which is why we sort of block from so much that is actually going on around us, because this is a multi-highway, overlapping highways, overlapping realities. But the brain filters much of it according to what our reference point is and what we can accept as a possibility anyway. So because of that, we see very little. Now, is it that it wasn't there? No, everything is always there. It's just a matter of our own growth, our own evolution, and our own ability to step outside of our comfort zone and stop trying to box reality into something that we're, or creation anyway, something that we're comfortable with, and just know that it is expansive, and we're okay. We're allowing it to show itself to us, obviously in a different degree. As we grow, we step up, and we see more, we understand more, and we just keep going on that beautiful journey.
I noticed too, I'm sure you've noticed this, with this new influx of energy that's been coming in and this huge evolutionary jump, there's a major polarity going on. And some people I know that were very powerful people and very wise people are still doing the blame projection game, without just sitting back and go, well, maybe I don't really know this person. Maybe I need to just pull back my judgments and my projections and see if I'm projecting my old wounds and traumas or my old program onto them versus actually seeing them how they really are.
I think the blame game, it comes from that fear of personal responsibility, and I think also fear of that phrase, know thyself. And then there's another one. What is the other one? There's another one. They used it. The Oracle mentioned that in the Matrix. Was it know thyself? I don't remember what it was. Know thyself.
Something like that.
Yeah, but it's that inner journey. It's that inner, because we like to, which is why God works so well for us. The idea. idea of any way that we have, because we like to have something that is outside of us to either report to or to take responsibility for us, which is why the Yeshua program, the concept anyway that we have, works so well, because he's taken all our sins, or we can go to him. You know, we are programmed to go outside of ourselves so much that blame other people and to not examine oneself and to take responsibility, it is all part of that program. And this is not even about blame. It's not even blaming yourself. It's nothing to do with blaming anybody. Mm-hmm. It has to do with whatever it is that you are being gifted with in terms of what you're learning in this relationship, in that experience with that individual. Everything is about opportunities. And I like to say that experiences are experiments. You know, everything that we deal with is an opportunity for us to step up. Everything is taking us to the next, you know, to yet another level. Yeah. If we allow that, or we can get lost in blaming and we're stuck there and we can't seem to get out of it. And then everything that starts happening more in one life is happening based on those belief systems that have been created around the blame. It's amazing how that works. You create like a whole reality for yourself where it now operates based on that energy, based on that frequency. So everything in your world is sort of bouncing off that frequency, and you don't mm-hmm. understand why things are going as they are in all areas of one's life. Really interesting.
Oh yeah, it is, and it's very hard to develop the observer and the self mastery to where we can catch ourselves and go, well, wait a second, you know, the energy is not really working here. You know, there's a lot of stuff flying around. Can we just like sit down and take a look at things on both sides, you know, and just say, hey, you know, maybe I might be creating something here, or maybe you might be projecting something, or let's get back to love and kindness, you know, let's work this out or talk this out. But instead, a lot of people take up the old program, you know, of blame, and you did this and I'm going to get even. And that's even being expressed in our government right now with all this war nonsense and everything else.
The whole planet, basically. Yeah. In different ways. It's true. I mean, because we don't know what love and kindness, it's a very tough one for a lot of people because of our personal programs and how we feel about our own selves and what we deserve. And you can go back to what you talked about with the Anunnakis and what human beings sort of seem to be programmed with, a level of subservience. And not only that, we are programmed with slaving and being slaves. Yeah. I think that's something that we really need to recognize, you know. And so the slave ends up doing the same thing that the master projected onto them. And we do it with other people. And it just becomes a domino effect in various ways now. It's not like everybody escapes from this. It happens in subtle ways that we do this to one another. And it springs from way back then.
Yeah, it does. And it's such an old program, and it's gone on throughout history. And I think the only way out right now is total self-observation and realizing that we do have that programming, and try to catch ourselves whenever we're not, you know, acting from love and service and even loving self, you know, allowing ourselves to be in these positions, you know, and basically that's the only way out. And learning also to stand up and speak out, you know, when these things are happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, a lot of this, when we respond that way, it's fear.
Yeah.
When we respond that way, it's fear. And we have to really recognize that when we do that blame thing, or we just can't stop, you know, it's fear. So we're afraid of something. Either we're afraid of being wrong for whatever reason. We're afraid somebody will see us completely for who we are. We're always hiding, you know, so we're always wearing a mask. We don't want people to know all of who we are. And that, believe me, I'm saying these things, but I'm not saying it to the rest of the world as if I'm exempt. The only reason why I know this is because I've had to do that same thing myself. Every day I catch myself with a program that I wouldn't even think would be there. And I have to to stop and I have to acknowledge those moments where my ego may be involved, or where I might even think that I'm better than somebody, but I wouldn't even, you know what I mean? It's so subtle.
Yeah.
It's so subtle, and you catch yourself and you go, wow, I didn't realize that I was thinking that. But it's not a blame. It's just a recognition, and then you go, oh, I realize that. Now you can work at changing it. So we're not talking about blaming yourself or blaming anybody else. It's just acknowledging that this is what I've seen in myself. Okay, I wish to change it, because change then allows an evolution where at some point we begin to move away from these very limiting or diminished programs, which are, you know, very low frequency thought forms.
Yeah, even the self-righteous control program, you know, where it was Lao Tzu or something said something about that. It's the height of arrogance for a man to set himself up as king or lord over another, you know, and but that is going on. And I see there's a lot of kind of self-righteous programs running right now, and even spiritual, what do you call it? I'm trying to think of the word. There's like a spiritual arrogance or a spiritual, you know, going on where people are just, they think they're on the top of the totem pole and they're here to tell everybody how it is, and they've forgotten how to listen, or they don't really realize they're coming from fear. You know, the work they're doing is really coming from some old childhood stuff or some old fears that they haven't packaged or processed yet or whatever. So it's or identified. So it's amazing watching this, and I think that's where the humility comes in, that we have to stay humble and we have to realize that we're all processing. You know, except for me, I'm perfect. But other than that,
well, there you go. That's what I was gonna say. Except for James, everybody. Except for James. That's what I want to be. I want to be James.
I feel sorry for you if you want to be me. I hope you have some higher goals than that.
I know what you mean. But yeah, no, it's just, man, I tell you, it's to me, it's been an even more humbling experience in these last several months, especially. And it can make you just want to just be quiet and just sit down at times, because, you know, when you start to own all of who you are, it's a beautiful thing, because it is going to direct you into that level of freedom, that freedom that everybody keeps looking for outside of themselves. But it the freedom is coming with the sort of dismantling or rewriting these programs that we carry. It's being able to see all of those things, because we're living our lives based on these beliefs, you know, especially, you know, the success and failure program. And I think when you mentioned even the spiritual gurus, they're even running on those programs. And a lot of that is coming from our childhood, in terms of what, maybe how we felt about ourselves as children, or what we were told, or what we saw, or whatever. You know, we're big kids. We're big children. And it's the same thing that we see with war, with those who are carrying out war and doing these things. It reminds me of small children. Small children still playing, oh, I don't want to play, I don't want to play with you anymore. I don't want to play, you know, whatever with you anymore. Mm-hmm. And we're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. Kids with bigger toys, they used to have the little tanks, the little, what do you call it, war soldier thingies, those things, and now they're bigger with bigger toys doing the same thing. Except for when you're little, nobody died.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people just working out their own victim patterns by going over there, and it's just an externalization of that, trying to regain their power, you know, through weapons and gear and bigger toys and bigger weapons, when they really need to realize that they're inflicting a lot of damage on innocent people, for all the wrong reasons. And maybe it's time to just go within and just say, hey, would I want this done to me? You know, and would I want to be on the receiving end of this? And maybe it's time for me to heal my own inner child, you know, versus taking this off to some other country.
And of course, I'm going to have to throw this little twist in because I think I need to throw it in. But, you know, in order for us, as you said, to these people to even work that out, work those whatever issues out, somebody had to be there. Now, see, this is a part that gets real tricky.
And yeah.
Somebody had to be there to allow us to move through, whether even in a relationship, that partner is there, and it's allowing us an opportunity to see ourselves, to move through. So sometimes we, you know, we come in, people sort of make that sacrifice. Sure, when you get here, yeah, sure, I'll let you, you know, blow me up. Okay, please don't get offended, people. But, you know, the thing is this, we don't want to look at the big picture, and we have to look at this big picture. And that's the reason why it becomes even more important that we begin to look at ourselves inward and begin to awaken to that. Now, if these people were obviously in that kind of awareness and began to look more at themselves from the manner in which we're speaking, a lot of these people probably wouldn't enlist to go into the service for war. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But because that understanding isn't there, they're soul, it's driving them, whatever that needs to still be worked out. We see the same thing with law enforcement. We see the same thing with, you know, police officers. That's why there's, you know, we get all these problems. It's because you have people carrying guns who have brought to the table all their childhood issues, whether they were bullied or not bullied, or they were the bully, or they have to prove something. You see that. And no matter what kind of psych evaluation they do a lot of times with these people, there are parts of us that are so darn hidden.
Yeah.
It just comes up when something happens and it shows up and you just can't spot it. So I think we have to recognize that. It, you know, some people need to be on a power trip. Some people need that. And you strap a gun on and it makes you feel better. You know, in different situations, different situations.
Yeah, it is interesting. As we were talking earlier, this whole matrix, you know, is designed to keep people external, and everything external, you know, your love, your acceptance, your approval is all external. Your freedom, your security is all external. You know, it's code red, you know, you should be very scared, you know, but don't worry, we'll protect you. You know, just mm-hmm. keep paying us, paying
us those
billions of dollars, you know. That whole thing is it would just all fall apart if people just started going internal.
Well, that's the whole thing, though, because the going inside would really kind of change the game. And I've talked about this, which is the reason why there's so much effort with the internet, with the media, with everything that gets projected to keep everybody looking outside. Because if we all started going within, the game would change.
Exactly.
There would be no need for a lot of that. So, you know, it's not something that's encouraged to have people going within and examining and taking responsibility and changing their own lives. So we've got to keep looking outside. And then mm-hmm. there's a savior. So somebody's going to always save you. You know, it's always the government, the system, the this, the that. We do it with relationships as well, where mm-hmm. we look to the other party to be our complete, to complete us.
Yeah.
And that becomes a challenge too. And then when we become disappointed because of our expectations and then they don't complete us like that, then there's a problem. But I say all relationships work. You know, I say that every single relationship works. I think it gives us, we are provided with exactly what we need mm-hmm. at that moment. It might last a month, it might last 2 or 10 years
yeah.
or whatever. But you are provided with exactly what you need during that period of time. And it all depends on how you choose to look at it when it's done. And if you don't understand it, if you don't see it, and it's a blame, guess what? You set yourself up for about 2 or 3 more that are going to keep coming until, you know, until you snap out of it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's quite interesting that whole program. And it's ongoing, and there's just levels of it. We think we've got that lesson, and then there's higher levels of those lessons. We're up at the end of the hour now, so is there anything you want to leave the audience with? And also too, I wanted to, what's the best way to get in touch with you and follow the work that you're doing?
Well, the best way is my main website. Been there for over 10 years. It's spiritinform.com. So it's spiritinform.com. There, you will find the link to my radio show, Inner Bridge Radio, and also to the magazine, Reality Bridge Magazine, which you can view online. You can view it for free. You can't download it, but if you want a copy, there's a link there. You can order a copy as well. Lots of great stuff. And the documentary website is thebusinessofdisease.com. Please do check out the trailer that went up about a month ago. And there's a t-shirt there that I'd love people to order in support of the film. And it says the business of disease, the cure is in the body, not in the business. So do check that out. And I'm easy to find. Actually, you can, it's soniabarr@yahoo.com, or you can click on any of those links. Oh, one more thing, timelinepublishinginc.com. Please view that. I am now open for publishing or assisting others in publishing their book, and we offer tons and tons of whatever tools for authors, setting up your interviews and so on and so forth. So please
Great.
visit timelinepublishinginc.com.
Sounds great. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and we'll be talking soon.
Thank you.
All right. This is your host, James Gillen, signing off. Have a great evening.
All right.
Got
And
it.
yeah, we always have a great time when we do the, we just have a dialogue, which I love.
Yeah.
And
I
I have
still
to.
feel those lion beans. I know we're part of the same group there. That
Yeah.
have you tuned into those yet? Have you had time to?
The lion beaks, just, what? A little bit. I was on that track for a little while. And I've done some interviews with oh God, what's his name? I can't remember his name. But anyway, we talked about a lot of this, and but I haven't followed it up. But I was very fascinated,
Yeah.
with it for a while.
I'm gonna, if you don't mind, I'm gonna look into that and find out what that connection is and what, and I can actually find
Sure.
out, I know you have some beings around you. I can really feel them strongly, but
Yeah.
I'll give you a name and you can meditate on it. We'll find out which one's the main teacher and guide for you with that energy and check into that and send it to you and see how that, I'm curious to see
Yeah.
what happens with that.
Yeah, that's definitely yeah, no, I'm totally open to that. But yeah, thank you for making the interview fluid. I have
Yeah.
one lady that, geez, this is the space I'm in. She canceled the interview, which I understand. There was a lot of things that were going on, but she hadn't received my book. For some reason, she couldn't open the PDF, and it just wasn't happening.
Yeah.
And I have so much stuff out there. I have lots of articles, but she just, oh, well, I can't do the interview unless I can look at the book. And it was
Oh,
so
God.
structured. At one point, I was like, oh my God, I'm so not in that space.
Yeah.
I don't do my interviews like that. Sure, I get the book. I do go through it. I do read it. But my interviews are like yours. They're just fluid.
Yeah.
That's all going out the door. All this structured everything in that manner. It just, for me anyway, it's going out the door. It's all about fluidity, and we're so used to thinking everything is so static.
Yeah, I mean, it's not current either, too, so it's like,
It's like moved into other things, and it's like I couldn't get her to really understand that. I wrote the book in 2008. I have grown so much since then, and there's a lot of great content in there. But I have grown, so allow me to then express to you where I am now. And I've written articles that are obviously more current that would give a better stance as to where I am. She couldn't wrap her mind around that. I was like, oh my God. Goodness. Yeah. So what about what are you going to tell me about this? You have any advice for me? Because you said you were going to tell me. I would love to do some stuff like that. But I'm stepping away from some of the regular lectures.
Yeah, yeah, this is really interesting. Bacall is just coming in really strong.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his name's Bacall, and he's like a seventh dimensional lion being. They're about 17 foot tall beings. But they, in ancient history, you know, they were the protectors of the gods.
Okay.
And they're coming in now to help protect the people on the leading edge of consciousness. You know, they're helping make the shift happen here.
Wow.
So it's
how do you spell that?
It's Bacall.
Okay. Wow.
And you know what? And they're so loving and powerful, but they're funny. They're really funny.
Well, and, maybe that's why I have such a sense of humor.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They have nothing to prove, you know. They're pretty fearless, so. But anyway, that's the one that's coming in. If you have some time, just sit down and tell him you want to experience his energy.
Okay.
But we've been working a lot with them, and we've got this. Boy, I don't know. I can send it to you. You want me to send this to you on? I'll send you this song.
Mm-hmm.
I had the weirdest thing. I was sitting here with this Australian couple who are amazing artists, you know, musical artists. Mm-hmm. And this song came to me, and I downloaded it, and I think you'd love to hear it. And it came from like an eighth dimension. It was like intense.
Mm-hmm.
I've never written a song before, and it came in perfect, written exactly in song form and everything. And I handed them and said, "Can you do something with this?" And they were just blown away. And they said, "Do you write music?" And I said, "No, never. It just came to me."
Right.
And it's going all over the charts. But it talks about the ancient Anunnaki and that the.
Mm-hmm.
The ones are returning, the benevolent ones are returning to right a wrong and take care of the ones that they left behind to oversee that fell, you know.
Right.
And it's a beautiful song, and it really...
Yeah, they'll send it to me.
Yeah, it triggers people on an inner level. It triggers the energy, you know. So,
yeah, I'd love to hear it.
I'll shoot it to you. I'm trying to think of how... You can send something on... If it's in your iTunes, I'm not that...
Oh, can you just download it? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you can download, if you go to CD Baby, cdbaby.com.au, and type in Outback Gypsies.
Let me write that down. Mm-hmm.
And then it's Anunnaki Return. And it's under Gilliland Fisher is the thing. You know, I just handed it to them, and they already put it up, and it's going ballistic. It's being played all over Australia right now.
Great.
People, after they hear it, they said it's really weird. They get applause after every song, and they played this song, and it was just dead quiet. And they're going.
Processing going on.
Yeah, because it does. It triggers, and they said these hardcore men, you know, that are there in the outback, you know, where they live, were crying after they heard this song. It really triggered something. Oh, I found it.
Deep down.
Actually, I found it. I could play it to you right now if you want.
Oh, okay.
Do you want me to just play it?
Yeah, you can just play it.
Let me see if I can do this. I think I can do this. Here it goes.
Built your ancient temples. They came to right or wrong. We left our children to oversee a civilization at its dawn. Our children, they have fallen. God's a noble virtue. They were left here to serve our seeds we left behind. Like they, those who serve them. have fallen. Just as well. Yet now it is time to awaken. Divinity standing tall. Slaves, we're not yours. We were meant to walk as one. Now we have returned when all is said and done. Tyrant's days are over. Separation, greed, and control. It is time to lead yourself from your own heart and soul.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Wow, it is beautiful. Yes. I see why everybody just sort of sat still. I found it while I was listening. I pulled it up.
Oh, you found it? Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. The lyrics are beautiful, and then the delivery of it is perfect.
Yeah. I mean, it just was all totally orchestrated, and the way it came together, if you want to use it or play it over any of your shows or anything, feel free.
Oh, okay. All right. But, great. Thank you.
We just want to get the message out there and get people to get their souls triggered by it. You know?
Yeah, it's a really beautiful piece. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome. It kind of goes along with all of our messages, you know, when you get it, you know, it's.
Yeah, it's everything we've been saying, with our talk today and so on.
yeah.
Yeah, it's all summed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Well, all right, I guess, that's it. Oh, yeah, let me know whatever, and if you have any information on, what the setup is or possibilities of doing any lectures or workshops anywhere.
Okay.
In those vicinities.
Okay, sounds good. I'll have Nate, Nate schedules all that stuff, so we'll hook that up.
That would be awesome. Looking to do some things that are a little bit different.
Yeah, you have to come up here for when we get another conference going or something. I didn't have my fingers in this last conference. I didn't even organize or do anything with it. I turned it all over to Nate, but it didn't go as well as I would like it to. Let's put it that way.
But
I would have had different people. But
yeah, well, yeah. But now you know, though. That's how you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Exactly.
That's how you know.
Uh-huh.
So you enjoy. When do you leave now for Mexico?
You know, I'm not sure because I'll be in Sedona doing the Ascension Rising conference, and then I've got right after that I have the I think it's the Star Nation or whatever conference in Palm Springs. Mm-hmm. And so I'll probably be like either mid-November.
Okay.
Looks like mid-November I'll probably be there till November, December, January, till probably February maybe. And then I might go to Australia for February because there's a group that wants me to come out there.
Oh, cool. That's wonderful. That's really wonderful, James.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, alrighty. I thank you so much. Do you know when that will go up?
I don't know if he scheduled this for, I think he scheduled it for World Puja, so it might come up this coming Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I'll tell him to send you an email and let you know when he's put it on the books.
All right. Sounds good.
All righty.
A wonderful rest of the day.
You
and
too.
We'll be talking soon.
Okay. Keep up the good work.
All right.
Bye.
You too. Bye. Hi.